reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, you shall not kill. And whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever says to his brother, Raca, will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar and go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while you are on the way to court. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and the guard will throw you into prison. And you will not be let out, I say to you, until you have paid the last penny. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Lent is an itinerary of conversion. Life is an itinerary of continual conversion. And there's no point in our life where we don't need to convert, when we don't need to change, when we don't need to turn away from whatever is keeping us from the Lord and turn toward the Lord, receive his forgiveness after having asked for it, receive his love, and live more deeply and intensely in that love. In today's first reading from the prophet Ezekiel, we see a double path. First, it's an incredible consolation from the Lord. If the wicked man, no matter how bad, turns away from the sins he has committed, if he begins to keep my statutes and do what is right and just, he won't die. He will live. None of the crimes he has committed will be remembered against him. And we can name them all. Apostasy, adultery, murder, rape, none of those crimes, even deicide, killing of the Lord, will be held against him. He shall live because of the virtue he has begun to practice. The Lord then said he doesn't derive any pleasure from the death of the wicked, but rejoices when he turns away from his evil way that he may live. That's why Jesus would say later in the gospel, heaven rejoices more for one repentant sinner, for one person, no matter how scarlet his sin, who turns away from that path and returns to the Father's house, more for that one repentant sinner than for 99 Blessed Virgin Marys who never sinned and never needed to repent. That should inspire us in our continual conversion. How much joy we give to the Lord when it happens. And how confident we can be in his mercy, that when we turn our back on a way of wickedness in order to turn our face fully toward the Lord will always meet us, bless us, rejoice, and help us. But there is another path, the prophet Ezekiel describes. If the virtuous man turns away from the good path to do evil, the same kind of abominable things that the wicked man does. Can he do this and still live? Asks rhetorically Ezekiel. None of his virtuous deeds shall be remembered because he has broken faith and committed sin. He has intentionally and freely broken that covenant. Because of this, he shall die. And God, through Ezekiel, raises up, this is unfair. You mean I could live 99 years of a good life and only at the very end turn away and then I lose it all? The Lord is saying yes. But the key for us to recognize is, if we think we've lived 99 years of that good and virtuous life, we're probably guilty of the most serious sin of all, which is pride. We're not really in that second category. But nevertheless, we should always remember, as St. Paul wrote in his second letter to his spiritual son, Timothy, that there are two paths for us to take, and it's not a once and for all choice. It's a choice that needs to be reiterated every day and many times a day. It's the choice to be faithful and persevere, or the choice to be unfaithful. And that's constantly there. Our yes to the Lord comes with the very choices of every day. And when we really love the Lord and we seek to please the Lord, those yeses aren't scary. Those yeses aren't all that arduous. Even following the Lord along the way of the cross itself is a path of life-giving love that gives us energy rather than drains it. It is that continuous yes to which we're called, even if at times we say no. But when we say that no, and we recognize in our daily examination of conscience before we go to bed, and turn to the Lord saying, thank you, Lord, for the grace you gave me. Sorry for the times over the course of the day that I didn't truly correspond. Forgive me and help me tomorrow. We know that the Lord will give us his mercy. And then we come to receive it in the great sacrament he has received. Is the Lord's way fair? We would say, not just fair, but loving, merciful. Thanks be to God, the Lord's way is not fair. As the psalmist said, Lord, if you counted our iniquity, who could stand? But thanks be to God, he doesn't. He's loving, like a loving father who doesn't treat us with justice, but he treats us with mercy, provided that we turn our back on sin and turn toward the Lord with his help and seek with that grace to walk in his ways. Today's gospel, Jesus reemphasizes the same point. The Pharisees and the scribes thought that they were righteous, thought that they were virtuous, but their hearts were far from the Lord. And the Lord once said that they were whitewashed sepulchres. On the outside, they looked spectacular, but in the inside, they were full of dead men's bones. They were walking dead, walking mortal sinners. And the Lord's whole mission was to call them to conversion, but they were too good to convert. And they ended up in their blindness and in their sin, crucifying the Lord who had come to save them. And Jesus says that our righteousness must surpass theirs, because our righteousness is not self-righteousness. Our righteousness is a divine gift in which the Lord takes our unrighteousness and substitutes his own righteousness. And so Jesus continues about the journey we're on during Lent. If you come to bring your gift to the altar and you recognize that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift, go reconcile with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. We've come here this afternoon to offer ourselves as a gift to the Lord, to offer our time, to consecrate our hearts, to meet his total gift of self with ours. But it's not just enough to give ourselves over to the Lord, because the Lord also wants us in love to give ourselves over to our brothers and sisters, especially that greatest gift of all, which we come to him to receive, which is the gift of his mercy. When we come here and are made rich in his mercy, we are supposed to share that mercy with others. Jesus gave a parable, which we will hear later on in Lent, which he says, basically, that he forgives us 10,000 talents, and a talent was 1,000 days' wages. So when he gives us 10,000 talents, he's giving us 10 million days' wages. If you want to calculate that, what do you make in a given day? Let's just say you make $100 a day, $12.50 an hour. You can start to do the math. That's $1 billion, okay? The Lord has made us a billionaire in his mercy. And no matter what anybody else has done to us, it's the equivalent of 100 denarii, he says. 100 days' wages. So if you make $100, that's the equivalent of 10,000. So God gives you $1 billion, and somebody owes us 10 grand, and we refuse to be generous and forgive their debt, even though the Lord has restored to us $1 billion. How silly is that? And yet that's what the Lord is saying, that when we come here knowing that we have received the Lord's unmerited gift of mercy, that if we recognize that somebody needs ours and we don't go forgive them, then we're not really capable of receiving the Lord's. That's the whole Christian faith. It's meant to be an explosion of merciful love. And we can say, no, but that person really did wrong, and somebody's got to hold that person to justice, and unless I do, they'll continue it again. Thanks be to God that the Lord doesn't treat us that way, because then we'd all be goners. And so if we're going to become like the Lord, like in his love, like in the richness of his mercy, we need to rejoice when one of our brothers and sisters turns away from their wickedness to live. We need not to hold that grudge against them, hold that sin over their head so that they can never really be forgiven by us. But just as the Lord teaches us by his own mercy toward us, we need to share that love. I tell you again, unless your holiness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Let us ask the Lord to give us that gift of holiness, that gift of merciful love, in such an overflowing way that we may quickly and speedily remit the small little debts our brothers and sisters owe us, so that they might come to experience the full riches of the pearl of great price, the treasure buried not in a field, but openly exposed on the altar, which we have the awesome privilege to receive ourselves today. Praise be Jesus Christ.